It's episode 117 of the Hodgepodge Podcast. I'm your host, Doug.
And I'm JDA. As the name suggests, we're going to talk about a hodgepodge topic: movies, music, TV, and other pop culture events.
And on this episode, we'll be discussing the film Jason Bourne, as well as the Netflix series Stranger Things. You can reach us at thehodgepodgepodcast at gmail.com or over on our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com, or look us up on iTunes and YouTube and subscribe, or head on over to Facebook. Just search for the Hodgepodge Podcast and like our page. And on this episode, we welcome back a friend of the show, Matt King. Hey. Welcome, Matt.
Short and sweet.
Short and sweet. Unfortunately, not like Jason Bourne.
Yes.
No,
yes.
That was long, yeah.
Yeah, so we saw the new Jason Bourne and movie called Jason Bourne. Or as Matt thought it was called, You Know His Name.
Now, I knew that wasn't its name, but I also didn't know what its name
that's
was.
That's the only thing they did by the tag.
That's the only thing that was on the posters. You know his name. Poster. All right, yeah, so.
You know his name. Charles Michael Caine. Yeah. That's his name.
Yeah. It's Matt Damon.
For those who have seen the original Bourne Identity. Not much going on in the world of nerd movie news after the explosion of news from Comic-Con last week.
That's enough feel for
that's enough for like a month. I watched some stuff from Comic-Con. I did watch the Guardians of the Galaxy press conference or whatever the hell you want to call it.
They didn't even leak it. I mean, there's no footage.
Oh, no, of course not. Yeah, they wouldn't allow that shit. Yeah. But it was funny when Rooker showed up in all his regalia.
Yondu.
Honda. Mitsubishi. Honda, yeah. Mitsubishi, Honda, whatever his name is.
Yeah. From Street Fighter.
Yes.
E Honda. Yap, 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 yap.
But. So giving a high five.
But other than that, there's not much else going on this week. Suicide Squad comes out next week.
Mary Poppins was ruined for me.
I know, I saw that. I was going to send that to you.
Somebody spoiled
I'm
it?
Out.
No. But see, isn't it like
it's
a sequel?
It's a sequel.
But Meryl Streep's going to be in it.
Oh, I'm done. So you're there day one.
No, he won't be now.
No. Emily Blunt.
Emily Blunt's Mary Poppins. And he was like chomping at the bit. He's like, oh! And then Meryl Streep's in it.
I'm out. I'm done.
Awesome.
They ruined my childhood.
Did you know? All right, Ghostbusters. Did
I got some screener tickets for you for
Florence
Foster tickets. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. You and everybody else. We won't see that piece of shit.
I try to get passes for what is it, Hell or High Water.
Oh,
but that was the only paper contest. But that
movie
looks good. I can't wait to see that.
That was the first I've heard of it.
Yeah. I saw a trailer a few months ago. Yeah, I'm interested in seeing that. I did see Cafe Society the other day. Woody Allen's new film. It was delightful. And melancholy at the same time. But it was good. I liked it.
Right.
So let's dive into Jason Bourne. We'll save the best thing for last. So Jason Bourne... we'll just say it right up front. Jason Bourne was a disappointment. For years, Matt Damon and Paul Greengrass, who was the director of Supremacy and Ultimatum, were saying, oh, yeah, if we come up with a great story or whatever, we'll come back and blah, 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 blah. And we got Jason Bourne, which is essentially...
That's what they always say, though.
No, I know that, but I mean, but they stayed away for a long time.
But clearly they did not wait for a great story, because this is the most bare bones story you could possibly think of.
No, clearly they got very impatient, apparently, because they didn't wait for Tony Gilroy to write the screenplay, because he wrote the other four. He even wrote the Renner movie, but he wrote Identity, Supremacy, and Ultimatum. And they didn't wait for him to come on board.
I mean, it's like outside of the Renner version, which just kind of stands alone anyway.
Yeah.
It's just like diminishing returns for every one of these movies, and this is just the nail in the coffin.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's really a rehash of the last two movies, and I was telling you guys before we started, I rewatched Supremacy and Ultimatum this weekend in preparation for the podcast, and I'd say Identity is probably my favorite one, but Supremacy is probably the best one.
Oh, you think so?
I think so.
I like Identity. That's the only one that really grabbed my attention as a
standalone movie. I mean, I was ready for Supremacy and even Ultimatum just because of the style of movie.
But, right.
Identity was the only one that really stuck out to me as being a great movie or a real solid movie.
Well, I felt that Supremacy flowed naturally off of Identity, whereas Ultimatum, they really had to shoehorn that in to make that work.
For sure. I mean, Supremacy worked well within the confines of the story, whereas Ultimatum was just...
It was a good movie. I mean, Ultimatum was good, but it was just pretty much the same movie. It's essentially the same story as Supremacy.
Jason Bourne is just...
The same thing.
Just for no reason they put him in this movie.
He's got six lines in the entire movie.
I didn't mind that because, I mean, that's kind of... You could make the same argument about, like, Mad Max or something like that, you know, of a Fury Road or something like that. I mean, he doesn't even talk.
I know what you're saying. But yeah, I pointed that out that he had hardly any lines. But what I'm saying is, the fact that he had hardly any lines was a direct result of the fact that it was a movie that didn't even need to be Jason Bourne. It's like Jason Bourne was shoehorned in his own movie.
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah. You're right.
So I didn't see the Jeremy Renner movie.
You don't.
Is there any reason why they did they?
There's no reference. No mention at all.
At the time, it would have been like he would have taken over the reins, but it did so poorly, I think that they.
But he was a different character. Like he wasn't Jason Bourne.
That part was another part of the program, right?
So I don't understand why they didn't try to put both of them in this movie.
That's what I wanted them to do. See what I wanted. This smacks of I guess the closest comparison you could have is The Fugitive. And U.S. Marshals, where they took a movie that was great, and then they made a sequel that didn't have the greatest component in it, you know. So, and then they made a sequel to it, which was what the Jeremy Renner movie was. Dirty A didn't like it. He didn't like it more than me. I actually liked the Renner movie for the most part, but it was kind of like the same thing where you know, and U.S. Marshals and Fugitive. You know, what they did was you had Wesley Snipes, who was the fugitive in the second movie, but they did the same exact thing with him. Oh, he was framed for murder, and he didn't really do it. I'm like, it would have been more interesting to actually make him an actual convict who escaped.
Have the U.S. Marshals be in the right for once.
Exactly, right? Exactly. So that's what I was hoping they were going to do with the Bourne Legacy, is that they were going to make him an assassin, and he was going to be like this badass assassin. But instead, they just turn him into another Jason Bourne. They're like, oh, the government's trying to kill me and stuff like that. And then what I was hoping is that someday they would have the two of them meet. And that would have been cool. You know, Renner would have been the villain and then Matt Damon would have been the hero, Jason Bourne.
I mean, even in this one, and they tried to pretend like they were going to do this for a hot minute. But even in this one, like, it would have been refreshing just to see not so black and white.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Jason Bourne doesn't have to always be perfectly right
at the
time. You know, just because he's... Because let's face it, yeah, he got fucked over, but he's just after his own self-interest. So it doesn't have to be completely black and white to where as the CIA is just this corrupt institution.
Yeah, that's the other thing too.
Run by horrid people.
That's the problem. That's the problem with the series is that, like, you know, by doing Identity to Supremacy, you keep it limited to, to Chris Cooper and Brian Cox. You know, to Conklin and Abbott.
Right.
But then,
now you've opened
but then,
it up to
but then in the next one,
people.
Well, now David Strait there and he's dirty, and so's what's his face, Scott Glenn, and then you got to bring in Albert Finney. Now he's dirty too. They're all dirty.
Well, then you think that they brought in a good one, and then the very end they hook you on that. All right.
And that's the other thing too is like, well, and we'll get into that, because obviously we're going to delve into spoilers when we talk about the actual movie itself. But
not this movie.
Don't want to
spoil anything.
Don't ruin it for
in this movie.
Wait, here's the spoiler. Have you seen Bourne Ultimatum? Then you've seen this movie.
Yeah.
So, but that's kind of like how I felt because I was watching Ultimatum. Like I said, I was watching it today, and like just to watch how they were like working so hard to shoehorn that movie in there. And again, it's not a bad movie. It's a good action movie. I thought it was a good Jason Bourne movie, but it was redundant.
Ultimatum.
It was redundant, because they covered a lot of that in Supremacy.
Right.
And then...
you thought that was redundant.
Yeah, this is even worse.
Yeah.
So basically what happens is, you know, and this will be real quick because there's really not a lot of to the plot.
Like
they try to make
unlike the movie itself.
Yeah.
It's easily an hour, 15-minute movie pushed over 2 hours.
Yeah, they tried to make it twisty and stuff like that, but there's really nothing going on here.
No.
And so... The CIA has been hacked, and they find out fairly quickly that it's Julia Stiles' character, Nikki Parsons.
From
the first, the other three. Yeah. And one other thing I was telling Matt when we were driving over here is that the other thing I couldn't stand about Ultimatum, and I'd forgotten about this, and then when I watched it again, I was like, oh my God, I forgot about that. That they tried to shoehorn in, like, she was like a romantic interest for him before he got amnesia. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. Like, stop it. Yeah. Anyway, so she hacks the government, the CIA, who apparently doesn't code their files at all. And they just call everything what it is. You know, like there's a file there for porn, and there's a file there for black operations, and then she just downloads all that
presidential
stuff.
Assassination.
Right. Years and put categorically by years.
Secret government, you know, all that kind of stuff. So she just downloads the black operations thing, and then she's tagged with malware by
right. Instead of stopping her from downloading it, somehow the newest hotshot, you know, in the cyber attack department is able to, you know, install malware on her system as opposed to just stopping her from downloading whatever she's doing.
And that is Heather Lee, played by Alicia Vikander, who her motivations are very mysterious throughout the movie. And you don't really find out till the end what her deal is, and it's pedestrian at best.
Yeah, well, I kind of knew her motivations the whole time. Mm-hmm. I mean, they tried to.
Tommy Lee
they
Jones
tried,
kinda just came out and said it.
Yeah, they tried to button hook you with making you think, you know, she maybe for some reason was after or had Jason Bourne's interest at heart.
Right.
But
and even that came up like suddenly, like.
But I just love how they make it so simplistic. You know, like she reads one file that was available to anyone, and mm-hmm. all of a sudden she's got this grand idea: we can turn him back. Mm-hmm. You know, like you literally read one file and the highlights from that file that were in, you know, that were highlighted in that file.
Yeah,
everyone's read that. Like, this is not, you didn't dig deep.
Yeah,
this isn't, you know, it's like, yeah, all right.
It wasn't like Joan Allen, who had to like request to get the files and do all this stuff and do the legwork and all this stuff.
If you're going to play that angle, why not make her, you know, have some kind of psychology background,
right,
where she can decipher that on her own,
right?
I don't know. It just seems. But very
then, how
simple.
Would she get the malware on her machine?
But so anyway, because Nikki Parsons helped Jason Bourne 9 years ago, automatically he's involved, according to the CIA.
Yeah, yeah. She, by the way, she's doing this unbeknownst to him.
Right.
Yeah. She's downloading this stuff just on her own.
He's off in Greece just fighting dudes for money.
And then she catches up with him, and he's basically like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, get out of here.
Don't drag me into this.
What the fuck? Like, I didn't ask for this.
Those are literally the lines in the movie. Yeah.
His only line.
Three of his four lines.
Yeah.
Right. So she gets him involved, and then the CIA is back on his trail. And then he goes off. He finds out that she tells him something. Did she tell him something? Or he. Oh, he looked at the files. He goes to her Julian Assange, you know, stand in. And, he reads the files.
To which, why she needs him, I don't know, because she seems like pretty capable of doing all this herself.
What was his
role in that? I don't know, you call him the hacker?
The information broker or whatever. Whatever you call him.
His role in it only makes sense if you assume she's out of the picture. Mm-hmm. Because she can do anything and everything he was doing.
Right.
So it only makes sense to introduce him as a character once she's... it doesn't matter. She's already out of the picture.
Right.
So therefore, if you retroactively go back and think about the story, his role in it makes no sense.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So there's a lot in this movie that doesn't make any sense. And it was amazing to me how I'm watching this, and it was basically playing out like the last 24 thing that they did with in London.
Right.
I mean, like, you know, Chloe is like a hacker off the grid, and Jack Bauer gets back involved again. You know, it's basically 24. So basically what Bourne finds out is that his father, played by Greg Henry...
Darth Vader?
No. His father, played by Greg Henry, had something to do with the Treadstone Project. And so now Bourne needs answers. Why was his father involved in all this stuff? Bourne tries to pick up the check in a flashback, and then Greg Henry goes, "You see me reaching for my fucking wallet?" And, you know, stuff like that.
And here's the thing. The thing is, we've treaded through all this before. Like
Treadstone?
Yeah.
We've treadstoned through all this before.
Like, what I'm getting at is, as this movie showed, for a hacker's perspective, it's pretty easy to get this information.
Well, no, that's the magic computer.
Three times before they've gotten this information. This is the first time he's ever seen this information that like I'm not buying it.
Yeah.
It
just didn't work. That's one of the big problems I had with this movie, aside from the fact that they're just repeating the plot points of the other movies, is that, you know, it's got my least favorite trope, which is the magic computer trope. You know, it's like computers can do anything. and if the right person can do it, they can take over the planet.
I'm gonna paraphrase this, but it was just so wonderful. Let's just destroy the database with the SQL.
Yeah. Use SQL to destroy the database.
It's like, do you realize that makes no sense whatsoever, right? But I guess you just throw any kind of terms you want that have to do with databases and applications, and you're good to go for, I guess, 90% of the audience.
But use SQL.
You realize that makes no sense. That's okay.
My favorite magic computer moment was when they found out Julian Assange was getting it, or like they had turned on their computers, and then they were like, how do we get in? There's a phone in the room. I can use that to delete
the hard drives. That was key. Yeah. It didn't say the computer was hooked up to the phone, which it wouldn't have been, because why would a hacker be using a phone line?
No.
I think it was
a cell phone, and they were trying to go in through the Wi-Fi on the cell phone or something like that.
But the computer,
they already realized, I think, wasn't even hooked up to the internet. So that didn't have, there's no way to do it. There's no way to do it. Exactly.
The hacking logic in this story was worse than anything I've seen in recent past. It was really bad.
Black Hat.
I'm talking about Black Hat. Yeah. It's on par with Black Hat. But, you know, outside of plot points, which we know are scathingly bad in this movie, we can discuss. But the other thing that made this movie just very mediocre at best is it's an action movie, and the action was mediocre.
Yeah.
It was straight up shaky cam action the entire time, which
that's green.
Which is just this whole.
He introduced it, I think.
I mean, Bourne kind of introduced that aspect of it, but this was. This was bad.
Mm-hmm.
The scene, like the blocking of the action scenes, were just. It's almost like they just walked in one take and were like, "Okay, we got it. We're good."
Yeah.
There was nothing fun or cool about the Jason Bourne fights, which is what we loved about the other Jason Bourne movies.
Right.
They tried to make it like he was methodical, like he was in the past, but he really wasn't.
Yeah.
And then you know it. This always pisses me off, but this is not the only movie that does this. But what pisses me off is it'll show him in fights against huge motherfuckers, take him down in one, maybe two punches. It showed that like four or five times in this movie.
Right.
And then he's fighting one guy at the end, and they're just throwing punches at each other in the face and like maybe knocking each other on the ground. But like you just knock some guy five times, this guy's unconscious.
Yeah.
You're telling me. You can't take this guy?
No.
Most of the fight scenes in this came down to Jason runs through a door, the evil people follow, he surprises them from the other side of the door, and fights over.
Right.
That happened at least three times.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it was just, it's...
Yeah. Well, the climactic chase scene was the worst thing in the world.
The cars.
The SWAT vehicle.
Oh, God.
Barreling through just...
the SWAT tank,
apparently. 10 cars. Like, Las Vegas, I'm sure you have a nice utility vehicle for SWAT, but it is not a 5-ton tank.
Yeah, exactly.
That just parts the way of any vehicle in its path.
This isn't GoldenEye.
Right. just ridiculous.
And then, of course, that's the other thing, is that, you know, in this movie, Jason Bourne is... It's a lot like, and you said this the other day when we were talking about it, it's a lot like the Mission Impossible movies now, where like Jason Bourne has now reached Ethan Hunt levels of superhero, you know, invulnerability. Yeah. You know, like when they did that thing with the, when they crashed in the casino and his car got touched. He's dead. He's dead. Fucking dead.
Well, okay, at best, he's unconscious. Crippled. Yeah. Crippled or something.
Yeah.
He doesn't just like walk out of there.
Yeah. No. But that's exactly.
I mean, hell, at best, it's going to take him 10 minutes to figure out how to get out. Yeah. If he is okay.
He was just crushed.
He literally, his car has nothing to do with him.
Right.
Just the physics of the situation. Yeah. The car he is impaled by a marquee.
Right.
But he's just like, oh, I'm cool.
That's exactly like in Mission Impossible 5 when he's riding that motorcycle like at 90 miles an hour.
Right.
And then he skids out, gets up, and like maybe he popped a seam on his shirt.
Brush yourself off.
Nothing wrong with him. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
No. He went head first into a stone wall from the third floor.
There's a difference between being and someone who's capable of beating the shit out of someone and an invulnerable superhero.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing that I liked about the other movies. Like, he got hurt.
Right. Make this realistic.
Right. He got hurt in those movies.
Honestly, I feel like they got to that scene when whoever, the guy you're talking about who wrote it, is because
Greengrass.
And he was like, this seems kind of boring.
Yeah.
Let me add something that really, really, at the end, that really hyped things
up.
Well,
they have to have, you know, the car chase scene. You know, that's the staple of Jason Bourne.
And it was a boring car chase scene. I mean, other than it was funny, because
laughably boring.
The SWAT mobile that,
had
some sort of invisible wedge on the front.
Because I said that to you when we were watching. I'm like, does that have a wedge or
flying away from that thing?
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the real problem though. Jason Bourne is not going to hop into a Dodge Charger at this valet parked in front of the Aria, because the Aria is not going to double park a Dodge Charger in front of it. They're going to have a fucking, you know, $500,000 car parked, double parked in front of the Aria. So nice try, Dodge Charger. Which was also, apparently we all need those because they're pretty invincible too.
Yeah, exactly, right? So anyway, what happens is that Bourne finds out that this guy was involved, and it's Bill Camp from The Night Of on HBO. And
two a night.
Because Riz Ahmed is in this too as a Mark Zuckerberg type who's working with the CIA, basically Facebook. Basically, friends, Facebook is a shield for the CIA, basically. So, you know, beware what you put on there, especially if Trump becomes president. So that was a whole nother subplot that kind of
never really
didn't really go anywhere, and it just
served no real purpose.
It was just an excuse to get all the players into Las Vegas. The only purpose
it served was to get to the setting of Las Vegas.
Right.
Yeah.
And
nothing of that.
Nothing.
No, it didn't. No, he has a crisis of conscience, the Riz Ahmed character.
That would have been a more compelling movie.
Yeah.
If that was what was uncovered and you somehow need Jason Bourne help that's a more compelling movie, but they literally push that to the side.
Oh no, yeah. And that's kind of what I wrote my review. I'm like, you know, he had the elements here that he could have done a compelling story, but he basically just boils it down to like a standard action movie that, you know,
it's black and white, you know, white hat versus dark hat, and that's it.
And that almost, you know what, you're right, because that almost would have worked because they maybe should have done it like Fury Road, where they bring Jason Bourne in as like the Mad Max character, but then have like Alicia Vikander kind of be like the main character, the driving force, you know, that would have been interesting.
Well, I mean, he was a side character in his own movie anyway, so what the fuck does it matter at that point?
So anyway, what happens is Tommy Lee Jones is yet another old man who needs Jason Bourne dead for some reason. And he's getting too close to my secrets. And
as I refer to him now, Dumbo.
Yeah, yeah.
Biggest ears in Hollywood.
Your ears never stop growing. So he enlists the help of an assassin played by Vincent Cassell, who returns to Las Vegas after Ocean's 12, looking for Danny Ocean. That's why he wants Matt Damon dead. He was part of Ocean's 11. He has a history with Bourne, which was fine. That they put that in there, that Jason Bourne, when he released the documents on Blackbriar, it burned him, and then he got thrown into prison for like 5 years or something like that. So he had a reason to hate Jason Bourne. Then Paul Greengrass couldn't leave well enough alone, and he had to go the extra step to make Jason Bourne hate him for some reason.
Hey, you know what? There's an even more compelling story. You just need the one bad guy versus one good guy. This guy goes rogue, goes after Jason Bourne, and they try to pull Jason Bourne in to help them again.
Right.
That would have worked too. That would have worked too.
But Paul Greengrass wants to do this whole, you know, government is evil and all this kind of stuff, you know, which is why I'm convinced Goldberg loves The Ultimatum so much. Because they have that one scene in Ultimatum where Joan Allen basically says to David Struth Aaron, she's just like, oh, this is like state sanctioned murder. Whatever, we gotta do this. And it's like, well, now we know why Goldberg likes it so much. Where Supremacy didn't have a theme. Right. It was just a good story that, you know, played with the characters and made sense with the characters. And then basically, you know, it all works out in the end. So
I want people to think that we're
both. And then they play Extreme Ways by Moby.
The
best part of the movie.
I don't want to get people to think we're bogged down on just, you know, plot points that are wrong just because this is an action movie. But the action is subpar too for me. So
I thought some of it was all right. I thought some of it was decent, but some of it was laughable. Like the car chase scene in Vegas was ridiculous.
You know what? It's possible. I'll concede that it's possible because I've seen it so many times before now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we talked about, Bourne Identity kind of started.
Yeah,
the way this type of action is filmed, mm-hmm. and maybe I've seen it so many times before that it's just old hat to me, and it doesn't do anything for me.
People are doing it better now.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you're going to revisit this style of movie, you need to up your game.
Yeah,
you know, don't come back at it literally doing worse than you did the first time out.
Yeah.
When you created the genre, but that style of
right.
action. I don't know. It was just a mediocre movie.
Yeah, really mediocre.
Everybody's using the same word in reviewing this movie, and we called it redundant, but it's just unnecessary.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just an unnecessary sequel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody was clamoring for it. And now that it's here, it's like there's literally nothing memorable about that movie at all.
They should have just done something. Like, I like Dirty A's idea.
But made money.
Yeah.
$60 million.
Yeah, it did. So. I mean, I like your idea about, like, how they had the rogue guy and then they needed him to come back to basically get him. That would have been cool.
There were other ways to do the movie.
But I also wish that they had done something with him that was a little bit different. You know, maybe even harken back to the books, because in the books by Ludlum, the original three books, it's completely different. Like, Jason Bourne is not really an assassin. Mm-hmm. Like, he is, like, he's trained. Like, he can do all the stuff that he can do, but he was basically, like, bait for the Jackal, you know, who was, like, a real assassin. And, like, they were trying to draw him out. And then he gets knocked in the head, he has amnesia, and then all this stuff happens. Right. And then he thinks he's an assassin, but they confirm later, there's like, no, you never really killed anybody.
Yeah,
like,
you were just...
We just trained you, and, you know. But, and so he ends up marrying Marie, and they have a family and all this stuff. It would have been interesting if they had, like, not gone down the road where you're like, that's pretty much where I expected Jason Bourne to be. Like, maybe he found somebody and has a family, or a secret family somewhere, or something like that.
Or even make him shady. Make you not believe that he's the ultimate good guy.
Yeah.
You know, show something sketchy
happen.
But it's just paint my numbers here.
Yeah, it really is. So you can probably skip Jason Bourne. Just stay home and watch the other three.
Oh, you already know his name.
Yeah, you already know his name. And you already know how this movie goes.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to discourage people from seeing an action movie, but this is not the action movie to see.
No, yeah. Go see Star Trek.
Yeah, that's a better action movie.
Yeah. It's a sadly, better movie, period. Sadly. It's a better sabotage. Movie, period.
Even with the sabotage.
So let's move on to something we all enjoyed very much, and that is Netflix's new series, Stranger Things, which is essentially if Steven Spielberg and Stephen King had a baby, basically.
Well, that's physiologically impossible.
Well, if they had a baby that turned into a TV show.
If you want to be more realistic, it's if the X-Files and Steven Spielberg had a baby. That's more realistic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was very X-Files-ish.
Yeah, I guess.
Very much. I mean, granted, it's one story, but it's very, very X-Files for sure.
Basically, now, I would say we don't want to ruin a lot of stuff.
I don't think we need to ruin it. Honestly...
I think we can talk about it.
The thing is, it's not like there's twist in the story. I mean, this is a story that can be told in this linear fashion, getting from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. You almost know where you're going, but it's enjoyable.
In the way
it's set up, so you don't need you don't need the twists.
There's no real like twists, but there's revelations. I mean, there's a mystery, and like you don't want to spoil it for everybody, right. Especially because it's a TV show. You don't want to spoil the whole thing. Basically, the show is set, it's only 8 episodes, which is perfect.
Which I was about to say, let's give credit right there.
Yeah.
Because this 12-13 show thing that Netflix likes to do. It's just too much. Too much for binging. Yes, too much for binging because you can watch it in any pace you want. So a show like Bloodline or something like that, you can let that breathe a little more. Yeah. That's
more of a character piece.
Right. But for the most part, other shows, you don't need 12 episodes. And this 8 episodes is perfect here.
Yep.
Yeah, right on the spot.
Right. It's 8 episodes. It's set in 1983. And it's filmed like it was in 1983. Like the actual film stock looks like it's 1983. It centers on the town of Hawkins. And they're in, where are they? They're in Indiana, right?
I think it's Indiana.
Indiana. It centers on this group of kids. And one of them goes missing. And it harkens back to all classic 80s Steven Spielberg movies, like Poltergeist, and I would say Close Encounters is in there. E.T. for sure is in there.
Yeah. Heavy-handedly.
And then, but it also harkens back to Stephen King stuff, because there's some Firestarter stuff in there.
That's what I picked up on. Firestarter, feel of Super 8 as of more recent stuff.
Right. I was actually reading, I was browsing the interview on Collider with the creators, the Duffer brothers, Matt and Ross Duffer. And he said he was, one of them said that they were on some message board or something like that for Super 8, and all these people were saying, oh, it's like Super 8 and Earth to Echo. He's like, Earth to Echo? He's like, you ever seen E.T.? He's like, I'm afraid that this younger generation that might be getting into this, they don't have the actual sort, like, point in time that they're referring to.
Earth to Echo. What a piece of shit. Don't dare compare that. A lot of people say Goonies.
Not really.
That's more adventure-y. I think people say that simply because it's a group of...
Right, yeah,
like
but no.
It's like a gang of kids.
No.
It's not really Goonies. It's more like E.T. All. Yeah, it's a lot darker than Goonies.
Hell yeah.
That, like it's Goonies in that Goonies was filmed in the 80s and had kids. I mean,
right,
that,
exactly. That's a stretch. Because the Goonies was also a comedy, agreed, too. I mean, there's a lot of funny stuff in this show.
Yeah.
But it's not a comedy.
No, this is the darker side of all that stuff. And so when people said Goonies, I wouldn't necessarily disagree with them when I'm talking to him, right, but in my head I'm going, not really.
Also, the other way it harkens back to Stephen King too is like the font of the title card. It's very much old 70s, 80s Stephen King.
It was
font.
So good.
Yeah, I read an article about that, about the font choice.
Yeah.
It reminded me, first time I saw it, I was trying to figure out what it reminded me of, and then it hit me. Amazing Stories. Just the way if you remember the Amazing Stories moniker for TV.
Well, Amazing, but I mean, not the font though. Just the way they
just the way you remember it.
Oh, right. Yeah, because Amazing Stories is more like Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah. Not the font, but just the way it sticks in your head. I remember watching Amazing Stories and seeing that when this would come up, I'd be like, that's what it kind of reminds me of, that nostalgia. Mm-hmm.
So, I'm trying to think of how much was in the trailer because I don't know how much. So basically, what happens is that the three remaining kids, the kid that goes missing is Will. The other kids are Michael, who's like the leader of their group, Dustin, who has no front teeth.
Dustin.
And then Lucas.
He is the doofus of the group.
Yeah. But I liked him. I loved all the kids. The kids are fantastic in this. And Lucas. And what happens is they go searching for Will, and they come across a special little girl, we'll say, and that is 11.
We'll also refer to as Drew Barrymore.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, and we can reveal this about it. She has powers. Yeah. She has telekinesis, basically.
Yeah. She literally is the girl from Firestarter. I mean, not in a bad way. Not in a rehashed way.
I would say, the way they played it was very much like Firestarter, but she's actually, I would say, more like Jean Grey, I would say. The way they go about it is Firestarter.
Clearly, she doesn't start fires, but
she's very much like Jean Grey.
The way they set up how the character is isolated and trapped and then gets out.
Right. Yeah. That's very Firestarter. Yeah. Yes. So let me get the kids' names here. Mike Wheeler, he's played by Finn Wolfhard. Nice name.
Good name.
Eleven is played by Millie Bobby Brown. And she was great. She was fantastic.
Her name is literally Millie Bobby Brown.
Yes. Wow. Yes. Dustin.
That's very 80s in itself.
Yeah.
Dustin. Like, how could they not cast her?
Dustin is Gaten Matarazzo, and Caleb McLaughlin plays Lucas. And then Will, he's farther down the list. Noah Schnapp plays Will.
This is where the casting came in big for this, because they didn't skimp on any of these kid actors.
No. They got really great. Awesome. They got really great kid actors.
They didn't be
actors.
Like, oh, we need this one to be real strong. Right. But we can go with anybody here.
Which is the exact opposite of Earth to Echo. Because exactly. Earth to Echo is clearly the producer's children.
You had one kid who was decent, and then all the rest of them were shit.
Yeah, they're the producer's children. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, it's Sandy wants to be in a movie. Right. The main adult characters, the cast is led by Winona Ryder, who plays Will's mother. David Harbour plays the sheriff, the chief of police.
He was really good.
Yes, he was great. Like Hopper, he was great. And he's a that guy. You've seen him and stuff. He was actually, most recently, most memorable, he was in Black Mass. He was one of the FBI guys that I guess that Whitey Bulger had on his payroll or whatever. They're the two.
Matthew Modine.
Yes, and that was a shock. Because when I was watching the credits, his name popped up. I was like, Matthew Modine, nice! No, I had no idea he was going to be in it.
But I mean, you knew it was him when you saw him on the screen.
Oh, no, yeah, No. What I'm saying is the opening credits said, and Matthew Modine. I was like, holy shit, Matthew Modine's in this, cool.
And you saw it, and it's Ted Danson.
And I thought for sure he would have a very small role in it, but he is a major, major role.
So that's the thing I really liked about his character, is it was a major role, but it wasn't overstated.
No.
Like, they didn't. I mean, yes, he was. Of course, he was bad. He's the antagonist.
Here. Yes,
but they don't play him as this super arch villain guy. Like,
no,
he's there doing his thing.
No, he's very much. He feels like he's very much more sinister, I would say, but he feels like he's like the scientists in E.T. I'm trying to understand what the hell's going on.
Right,
here,
right.
You feel like
at least in his own head, he thinks he's doing something noble.
Right, he thinks he's the good guy, which is great.
Yeah, so I like that they toned down his role, because they could have gone overboard with him.
Yeah.
They also had some teen characters in this as well.
Yeah, they were fine.
They didn't work as well.
It didn't distract.
No,
but it wasn't.
Right.
Paramount.
Like the boyfriend. I hated the boyfriend.
Yeah, that was a little dumb.
But no, but see, you know what I liked what they did with him?
I liked that they gave him an arc.
Yes, that's what I liked. Because they could have made him typical shitty 80s teenager bully.
I didn't believe one character.
The arc, it was too quick.
Yeah.
It was like.
Yeah.
No, I kind of believed it. Because even throughout, like, he kind of had, like.
They did try to show moments where he would restrain himself.
But he did it to get in her pants.
Yeah, but he still was doing it for one reason.
Yeah.
And but I was still okay with the arc. I was better with the arc than if you had just left him some one note character.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, if I were him and I came into a house full of what I came into, I'd be like, peace out.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, especially that guy.
Yeah. I'd be like, all right, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
But this is not worth it.
The character that I dislike the most, and that's not saying anything terrible, because this is a great show. Winona Ryder was a little much for me.
I agree.
She was a little over the top. She dialed it up to 11 too many times.
Yeah.
See, I thought she was all right for what was going on. I mean, because, like,
even before she knew what was going on, she was dialed up to 11. I mean, even when he was just missing, you felt like she thought that there were monsters after him before she had any idea that that was even a possibility. It was just too much for me.
For me, she was the weakest part of the show.
She was. And she was fine.
But I mean, still, that being said, I'm almost through a second viewing of the show. I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
they either needed to tone her character down for me, or at least show me that she's on some kind of mood stabilizers for a reason why she's acting so weird.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, it just she was the only one that didn't feel like a real person, I would say. But everybody else.
She was very one note, like, the whole time. Which, you're right though, Doug. I mean, once you get into what's really happening,
right,
then it makes sense. She's a mother and she's going to be off kilter when you realize what's going on with your kid.
Right.
But,
right.
I mean, she was like that from moment one.
The thing I liked about her, though, was like she said to everyone, I know I sound crazy. She goes, but I'm telling you, this is all real. It's not. It's not.
Yeah. After like the fifth time of her saying that, though, I was just like, you saying you know you sounds crazy is crazy. Like, I don't know.
I thought she was fine. I thought she was fine. So you guys are wrong.
That's how that works.
That is how that works.
I disagree, so you're wrong.
Exactly. I'll edit you out.
You know who else does that?
I'll edit out your
opinions.
You know
who else says that? Donald Trump.
No.
Burn.
No, he just says I can fix everything. I can just edit this. That's all.
Donald Trump would do that too. He would do that too.
I don't think he knows how to work Audacity.
He would hire somebody.
He's the best podcaster. He knows all the podcasting.
So, are we going to get into any plot about this at all? Or I don't know. I mean, I don't want to ruin it, but it's...
No, yeah. I mean, basically, it's... From the movies we've described that it kind of, you know, pays homage to, we've kind of revealed part of the plot.
Yeah.
There is a very strong horror element to this, but I wouldn't call it full out horror.
Yeah,
More.
It's played out psychologically for most of the time,
right?
And then it of course manifests itself,
right? I mean, I would say it's very much the way sci-fi fantasy horror type stuff was in the 80s. You know, they were all kind of grouped together back in the 80s and into the 90s. And then they started going, okay, well now this fantasy means this and sci-fi means this and horror means this. So it's very much, you know, lumped all together like that. And it's a spectacular show. It's really, really good. It hooked me immediately. And
It does make me wonder though, is it a spectacular show for us, for like our generation, or will other people appreciate it as much? Kind of like what you talked about before with the younger audience.
Not I don't know. For me, it was like the nostalgia wasn't the best part about the show. It was
which is well written.
It's just the kids were great characters.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's a really good story.
But the other thing is too is that the nostalgia when I'm also talking about the nostalgia playing into it, it's not just because of the homage it pays to these films. It's because of that. It's because it's a throwback to those films. It's a well done film like those films. So it's that way the nostalgia plays in because it's because it's good. It's not because it's just, you know, ooh, this, because if that was the case, we would have loved Earth to Echo, yeah, which is a complete ripoff of E.T.
That's right.
You know, but it's fucking terrible. Right. But you know, this is, you know, this is just really, really good.
You know what it is? It's Stephen King mixed with Mike and Me.
Mac and Me.
That's yeah.
Eric, no! We'll show a trailer at the end.
Yeah.
No, I won't be.
We'll show a clip from the show.
No dance numbers in this.
Mm.
So it's to its detriment.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's like you said, do we want to talk about anything more about it?
It's,
we could do a cutoff and say, if you don't want spoilers, you can just stop listening.
But then again, it is 8 episodes, and I don't know if we have the time to run down the whole thing.
Yeah. No.
I mean, you know, there aren't, it's such a good show to watch. This is a great show to binge, by the way. I know a lot of people say that, but this really is a great show to binge to watch back to,
yeah,
or front to back in one or two sittings, because it's not like there's one standout scene where you're like, oh, that's the best scene.
Right.
No, it all just works together.
Yeah.
It works as a functioning story that fits and locks with each other. It's just really well done.
And I never got the feeling that any of the parts of the story felt forced or anything like that. All the character motivations fit.
They don't, you know, in terms of sci-fi, it doesn't try to... it doesn't set up enough rules to where it'll break its own boundaries,
mm-hmm,
yet it still works within the confines of what it creates for you,
mm-hmm,
in your head. So it's you know, they do set up a second season.
Yeah, which the Duffer Brothers have referred to as a sequel. They're calling it more of like a sequel than like a second season. So it'll be...
I don't really know what that means. Sequel is a sequel.
No, I know, but I mean, but more, you know, I think they're playing it more like a movie than a TV show. That's what I would say.
I'm going to go on record as saying that I don't want a season 2.
Really?
I think this works so well as a standalone story and has such a satisfying ending for me I don't think we need a season two.
What I was hoping they were doing, what they were going to do as I was watching it, I was like, you know, I said clearly they're going to wrap this up this season, this story. What I was hoping they would do is kind of make like an anthology thing where they would do a season two, which would be completely different.
Well, that's what I, when I first heard about this, just the name itself lends itself to, that's what I thought it would be.
Right, yeah.
But then at the end of this, they clearly set up.
Yeah, they clearly set up a lot of threads to carry into a second season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. I mean, if it were like season five and things were falling apart.
Yeah.
But, you know, season one of a show like this, I'm okay with giving it another chance. It's not like it, I can't imagine it would disappoint me that much.
Yeah. I think it'd be good. I mean, they I've been reading some stuff, what their plans are and stuff. And it seems like they have it all mapped out pretty well. Like, I think it'll be, like,
not like they're handing it over to somebody else. I mean, they're,
right.
They seem to take care of the story. So,
right.
You know, I don't think a season two that they're going to jump the shark or go somewhere that I'm not going to like. You know,
yeah.
It's you know, I understand what you're saying. Well, leave well enough alone, but you know, when you leave well enough alone, sometimes you miss the best things that you never see coming.
They basically said that there's a lot more detail to the Upside Down than they revealed in this show, this season. So they said there's a lot more to it than just what they revealed. So I mean, it could definitely keep going, but it's like I said, I would almost prefer that I understand what you're saying. I almost prefer that they would do like an anthology, like American Horror Story. Bring back all, you could bring back the same cast, just make them all different characters, yeah, and just in a different town somewhere.
Instead, they're going like alligators in the sewers.
A guy with, yeah, a lisp in California.
Sure, why not? Yeah. So that's Stranger Things.
Definitely worth your time.
Definitely worth checking it out. Yeah,
and it's a quick watch.
It moves pretty quickly. It moves pretty quickly. Yeah, just really, really good. I will say that Mike's older sister was painfully thin. She needed. I mean, I know she's a teenager, you know, but she looked painfully thin to me.
Which one?
His older sister, Nancy,
dating the
jackass. Oh, yeah. I guess I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah, she just looked painfully thin to me.
I did feel sorry for her friend.
Yes,
they kind of just leave, yes, by the wayside in plot wise. That's the one part.
Oh no! I didn't think so at all. I thought.
What happened to her? And then everyone just doesn't say anything.
Aww.
And then you never hear from her.
No, again. I thought it was. I thought that was clear. I thought that was clear. Like I had no hope.
Oh no! You're misunderstanding.
Oh, you mean? Okay, right.
I'm just talking about how they just wipe it under the rug once it happens. It's like, what happened to her? And then everyone's just like. I was like, oh, okay, I see, I got it.
I'm sure
we got the kid, we got the boy back. That's all that really matters.
I'm sure that'll play into the second season. I'm sure she's gonna be messed up, emotionally.
Yeah.
Which I think is part of the. I think the Duffer brothers said that's kind of why her story ends the way it ends at the end of the season. You know, because she comfortable stuff instead of, you know. Anyway, I don't want to ruin anything. So, but definitely check out Stranger Things on Netflix. It's one of those shows where if you don't have Netflix, you should get Netflix to watch it. It's that good. And then go ahead and watch other stuff.
Who was it that was saying they were going to get rid of their Netflix account? One of our friends said that.
Yeah.
We were like, okay, they're going to charge you a handful of extra dollars, but. They're also now putting the best programming
they really are.
Like it's, and you know, I get it. You know, everyone deserves to be frugal with their money, especially when it comes to entertainment and cable and stuff. Mm-hmm. But for me, it would seem that out of everything, like Netflix is doing the most with your money. They're providing you with original content, better than anyone else, and so why not give them a few more dollars for that?
Oh yeah, totally. You know? I totally agree. I mean, like,
I don't want to beat the drum of
right
corporations and Netflix, but they're really putting it together. Yeah.
I mean, for me, it's, I mean, you know, we don't have cable, and I'm fine with that. I don't care if I have to watch Walking Dead season whatever season.
I'm not on board with y'all, you guys on that, but
I mean, I don't care if I have to wait to watch it on Netflix. I mean, because there's plenty to watch on Netflix. I'm still watching Bloodline, for Christ's sakes. Right. You know, I'm still kind of
That show's you know, phenomenal.
They're bringing that back for season three, too, I read. Yeah. I haven't seen anything of season two yet, though.
Yeah, the show's a complete slow burn, but in the best way possible.
House of Cards.
But they, you
know, I still have never even gotten into Orange is New Black, which I need to get into.
Yeah, which is fine. Everyone loves it, but I think it's...
I tried.
It's fine. Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but it just doesn't strike me as a lot of
There's just a lot better stuff out there.
But, you know, we're naming all these, for lack of a better word, flagship shows. But they've got a lot of other small stuff on there.
Yeah.
It's really good, too, and diversified. You know, they don't even advertise. You just run across it on there. I've watched a few shows and be like, oh, shit, this is fucking great.
And to be honest, not even just the original shows. I mean, if you're just, like, flipping around on there, I mean, they have a ton of great movies on there. Like recently, I was flipping through it because I just got a new TV, and it has the Roku built into it. So I'm automatically just going to Netflix. And it had, like, I was like, oh, they have Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. They've got the Jurassic World. Not Jurassic World. They have Jurassic Park on there. You know, just like great.
The Big Short is now on.
Big Short's on there now,
and Spotlight.
And Spotlight's on there. You know, they just great movies on there. You know, I mean, they're becoming
they're putting our money to work, if you ask me, in terms of entertainment value for shows and movies.
They're becoming the new HBO, basically. I mean, essentially, and HBO's still good. I mean, you know, I can't wait. Westworld comes out October 2nd, early birthday present. Woo! Can't wait.
I don't think that's what they did.
That's what they did. That's exactly what they did. They saw on YouTube our episode about Person of Interest, and they said we're going to do this for him.
Yeah, that shit looks great.
I can't wait to see that. I still have to see the second episode, or maybe even the third episode. I guess it's only two episodes of Vice Principals, but the first episode was funny.
It's fun. It's not as funny as I wanted it to be.
Right.
It's fun.
Yeah, I mean, Game of Thrones. I love Game of Thrones. Fuck you. Fuck you. And Silicon Valley.
Official now, season 8. Official.
Yes, it will be the last one. Yeah, season 8 will be the last of Game of Thrones, but that's been talked about for a while.
Which means that there'll be a marker 5 years after that where I'll still have to hear about it from everybody.
Probably. Well, I think they... Yeah, I think they said there will probably be a spinoff.
Oh, God, did they really?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Which they should do. They should do with Barrison Selmy. That's what they should do.
I mean, if any show lends itself to a spinoff, it's Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
With all the history and characters and plots that they got going on there. So.
But, you know, it's like I said, I mean, HBO is the place for comedy. I mean, you know, you've got Veep, Silicon Valley. Both of those shows are fantastic. You know, it's just... It's
True
a
Detective Season 2. The Night Of. Funniest drama
Laugh
on television.
Riot.
The you know, I mean, you just have to look at like the Emmy nominations. There was no network dramas were nominated. It was all either on cable or Netflix or you know, it's incredible.
I have a feeling next year probably Mr. Robot will might creep up in there. That's getting a lot of.
But that's cable.
Now.
I mean, that's still cable.
Oh, you're right. That's still cable.
I mean, like, but like,
right.
ABC, NBC, CBS,
Netflix.
And Fox.
You're right.
They play it too safe.
I think Mr. Robot did it make the cut this year?
I can't remember.
It's a fine show. It annoyed me with what they did with the plot for that.
Right.
But yeah, you know, you're right. Like none of the big networks gotta be scrounging for. And you know what though, It's I feel bad for the networks because it's a fine line when you this day and age you can't let a show breathe. Like you give it a season, you have to make that decision to cut it or not. If it's borderline, and you know Netflix is able to play around with shit. They can throw it out there, and if you like it, you don't.
But,
it's no skin off their back.
But cable does it too. I mean, look at AMC and look what they did with Halt and Catch Fire.
But also with cable outside of the networks, they still. The way the market is set up now, they have more flexibility to play around.
Right.
It's the networks can't. It's not forgiving for them.
Well, I think the other problem
in terms of ratings.
Well, the other problem with the networks is that they just play it too safe. They don't. Nobody takes any chances.
But I'm telling you why they play it safe.
Yeah, and everything feels derivative of what's
already
on cable.
Yeah, there's a reason why they play it safe. It's because they can't take chances. They don't have that, which sucks. But honestly, I say they can't. They couldn't. They need to now.
Yeah.
They don't really have a choice now.
Right.
They better if they want to, you know, keep up.
I mean, yeah. I mean, like everything feels.
Have you even watched Big Brother? I mean,
I don't know what word.
Does anybody?
Yes.
Oh, you. That's right. Yeah.
I guess maybe sanitized is the word, maybe? I know Hannibal pushed some limits.
And look what happened to it. See?
Yeah.
It was a great show.
And
definitely different, but critically loved.
Yeah.
But it couldn't get past the second season.
But what show was I watching? I was watching one of the network shows, and I was just this feels like it's just a sanitized version of something on cable.
American Ninja?
No, it wasn't. It was
American Ninja Warrior.
It was one of the scripted shows. It was like, I can't remember what it was, but I'm just like, this doesn't feel like, maybe it was Blacklist or something like that. And I'm just like, this feels just like a very sanitized version. Like,
Blacklist is very sanitized. Imagine a Blacklist were on Showtime.
That's what I was just going to say.
It's such a great show.
Oh my God, it would be fantastic.
But on NBC,
it's terrible.
It's a piece of shit.
It's terrible.
I quit watching.
And it's just like, you know, Gotham. Look what they did with Gotham. I mean, for Christ's sakes. I mean, you know.
That's just a product of its own inevitability.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Wallowing in its own crepulence.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, you and I had hopes that they would stick to their guns and say, no, this is not a Batman story.
Right.
We knew better. In the back of our heads, we knew better what they'd end up doing. God, that.
Terrible.
I mean, literally, you're showing every Batman villain before Batman even hits his teens, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
No.
More coming this season, too, right?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. It's just...
I think they're doing the quarter
battles. I assume yeah. I stopped watching.
But there was, like, a named villain that was... They were going to... Is it Mr. Freeze?
Oh, they put Mr.
Freeze. He's already in it.
They put Dr. Strange. It was in,
I saw him.
It
was BD Wong.
Yeah, BD Wong.
It's a good casting.
Somebody new is coming this season. But it's just like checking off a list. It's like,
yeah.
Here's the next one.
But you know, you're not even giving it time. Like, really? Like, you're going to introduce four villains within the span of five episodes?
Right. It's stupid.
It's really dumb.
It's garbage.
When you could have just made it an episodic detective show set in Gotham. It would be cool as hell.
And what they could have done is they could have done the Court of Owls, because the way that, I don't know if you ever read the storyline or anything like that, but the way that works is that they've been there in Gotham, like, for decades, you know, like, they've been there under the surface, basically. So they could have done Jim Gordon against the Court of Owls. That would have been cool, you know.
I assume maybe they did focus groups. Maybe people aren't
as
forgiving as
they're just trying to.
People say we want to see Batman villain.
They're just trying to get on the superhero boom without. But DC is like, we're not putting Batman on a TV show.
Yeah.
Which is stupid. It's just dumb. I mean, you're gonna have two Flashes.
Doesn't matter now. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
You might as well just do it. Just put Batman on the TV show. I mean, because that's what Arrow is.
Now there's a Superman.
Yeah, Superman's on Supergirl now.
And that
promo shot looked horrible.
Yeah, it was really bad.
I'm sure he'll be fine. But it's the way they took it.
Yeah.
Like, he had a tiny head, and it's just like.
You gotta make Supergirl look right.
Yeah, she looked like she'd been working out. Superman, not so much.
Maybe it's Flashpoint Superman.
That's what it is. Yeah, it looks like him.
But yeah, so it's just, you know, it is sad, but it's just like, you know, the networks. I mean, really?
You know, if I lived in any of these worlds, I would live so far away from any of these cities. Because clearly nothing happens outside of Metropolis or
Gotham.
Or Central City or Gotham. Yeah. Just don't live in those cities and you're fine.
Yeah.
Like people are like, we live in these cities, we're protected. You live outside the city and you're fucking fine. You don't need the protection.
But you've got, like, that's why, like, Person of Interest was, like, the last network show that I watched, because, like, it at least still had some edge to it, you know?
Yeah, and it got forced out.
Yeah, it got forced out. But, like, I mean, like, CBS, really? I mean, you're another Kevin James show, really? They're like, oh, it's a new Kevin James show. No, I'm like, no, it's King of Queens. It's fucking King of Queens. Just, they have kids, and that's the difference. And that's all it is. Big Bang Theory.
It is King of Queens 2.0. Let's face it.
I know.
They're just rehashing.
But when you have like these brilliant comedies,
it's Rob Schneider. It's the carrot.
Rob Schneider is the stapler. I mean, they have, you know, you have these brilliant comedies like HBO and stuff like that, and you're just like, you can't do anything that's like. I mean, Modern Family. I know Modern Family has become.
To
like,
be fair, you know, Kevin James is your everyday staple.
That's true.
People are going to watch it. And that's fine. There should be an outlet for everybody.
That's fine.
We don't need to push an agenda of having, you know, one-way TV shows.
TV snobbery.
Yeah, but it's just diversify.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. like Modern Family, like, you know, I know that's become like, you know, the quintessential now
but
network
at least at
show.
The time,
but when it started,
yeah,
it was very edgy.
Yeah.
It was very different. It was edgy.
Yeah,
you know,
now
it was great.
It's the norm.
Yeah. Now yeah. it's yeah, exactly. Now it's the norm. People were tired of it. Now it's yeah. winning so many Emmys. It's like, it's a good show.
Yeah.
I love
why. That's why. Man.
Sorry. We got off on a rant there.
That's
but,
all right. I heard you mention Big Bang Theory. I want to give my shout out to the worst show on TV. Big
Bang Theory. As he just said, we got it. You know, something for everybody. That show sucks.
Except for that show. Except for that show. Again, I always say worst show on TV. What I really mean is the most overrated show.
It really is.
I mean, by far the most overrated show on TV.
Yeah, Big Bang Theory.
Anyone who wants to say that that's the funniest show, I don't know. I like to be democratic, but they can suck my balls.
Cold. Yeah.
It's not. It's just not funny.
It's not.
If you have to put a laugh track in every 5 seconds,
yeah.
It's not that funny.
I mean, yeah.
And next time you're watching Big Bang Theory, count the seconds in between every laugh track.
Yeah.
You will not get above 10.
Yeah. And it's sad that that's the like number one comedy on TV when you've got shows like Veep.
Like just Veep. Just because you show some guys with slicked over combed down hair and a fucking Green Lantern shirt, it doesn't make it a geek culture show.
Yeah. It's not.
It's not.
It's really not. I would say Silicon Valley's more geek
yes,
culture.
Very than, much than, more. Way more. Way more. Even if you sanitize Silicon Valley enough to where it was clean. Not a lot
that would
of
be tough. Erla couldn't be
but
on
even
it.
Even if you did. Even if you did, it's right. still more geek culture than fucking Lori's shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, Chuck Lorre.
Yeah. That's
you said
it.
Chuck Woolery.
To be said, I mean, that said, the guy knows what he's doing, I guess.
Apparently.
Two hit shows under his belt that lasted.
It's like, you know, it's like Adam Sandler, you know?
Yeah.
Adam Sandler. He just churns out shit and people just eat it up.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. If I could do what Chuck Lorre did, I would create it too if I knew it was going to make money. Like, I'd create a piece of shit and sell it to all you unsuspecting fools and reap the benefits. I absolutely would. I wouldn't need to be creative.
Now I want Chuck Woolery to make a show.
You probably don't. You probably don't.
I do.
He did make a show.
What do you make?
It's great. It's called Love Connection. I guess he didn't make that show. He just hosted that.
Well, he made it already.
Did he? Oh, yeah. I thought he was.
Was he like the
producer? I think
he
was one of the producers.
Okay.
On it. I think.
Maybe.
I could be wrong.
I don't know. I watch it. It was enjoyable. It was like the it was the original date show.
Yep.
Well, I mean, the original date show was a dating game. But.
Well, that's true. I was thinking of like actually what I was thinking of was when I said date show was that show Blind Date that used to come
right,
out.
Right.
I got those on DVD if you ever watch them.
No, it's
the
okay.
Whole series set of Blind Date.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Was that the show that Chris Hardwick was on?
No, you're thinking of Singled Out.
MTV that's Singled it. Out. Singled Out. All right.
Do you own that too?
No. He used to. Oh man, he looked.
He's got the VHS of Singled Out.
Yeah. Yeah, we did go on a little Netflix rant there. You might as well rename this one the Netflix podcast.
It'll be. I'll probably call it Stranger Born or something like that, or Born Stranger.
So next
Born
up,
Stranger.
Next up, we'll have Suicide Squad.
Yes.
So that,
yes, we'll be seeing
Suicide
Squad next week.
Still, not sure how to feel about that one. I'm excited, but. Tempered excitement.
I am cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, me too.
Tempered excitement.
Because
yeah.
Matt told me something interesting is that you were looking it up, I guess, and said that Ben Affleck is not listed in the cast. So the possibility exists that Batman, who's in it, could just be some stunt guy that, you know, which would play into what David Ayer was talking about, how they're going to do Batman. That they're basically going to film Batman from Batman
in this movie,
right? Yes. He's going to come across from the villain's point of view.
Oh, right.
Like,
so
it wouldn't matter if it's Ben Affleck or
yeah,
not.
Just mass,
so
he's going to
be a stalker.
Yeah,
which could play fine.
Yeah, it could play fine.
It doesn't mean it has to play badly.
But I could have sworn that I read that Ben Affleck was on set there. So.
I really thought he was too.
I think he was.
I mean, if they do it right, I'm fine with you.
Yeah.
You don't. I don't need to see his face. You know, if he's doing his Batman thing, that might actually be cool.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. It doesn't worry me at all. It's right. Just interesting that he was not listed on the cast.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas some others were. Thanks for that, Internet.
Yeah, thanks, Internet,
oh,
for spoiling.
Oh, no,
yeah.
Spoilers.
Yeah. And it's just like, it was like in a headline. You're just like, thanks a lot.
Oh,
yeah. I didn't really
tell
need
me
to know
afterwards.
That. Yes. Yeah, we won't spoil it for our listeners. But yeah, so yeah, next week will be Suicide Squad, and
That's it. Next week,
that's
right?
pretty much it. This Florence, will be.
Oh right, right. Yeah.
Which one?
Florence piece of shit.
Yeah, the Meryl Streep.
This is official title.
This
Florence piece of shit.
This will be the last of like 4 weeks in a row where it's basically one big movie. It was a Ghostbusters, Star Trek, Jason Bourne.
I gotta be honest, and I now like this. It. I like it.
What?
I hate feeling like I need just cram in 3 movies a week.
Yeah, but that's what will happen in the rest of August, probably.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but then what? Nothing till Doctor Strange.
No, not exactly.
Maybe
for you, maybe. For you, maybe. For you, maybe. In your world.
Yeah. No, but what other big movies?
When does that?
Sully with Tom Hanks. That's gonna be a big movie.
Inferno with Tom Hanks.
That looks terrible.
Side by side in the movie.
God, I know. That looks terrible.
No, when does that movie come out?
I'll still see it anyway.
I think it's early fall, but it may be late summer. The Nazi-esque movie with Harry Potter kid.
Oh, where he's Aryan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think that does come out.
The skinhead.
Who's the skinhead? Early fall, I think.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
It's not the informant. It's the I forget what it's called.
Yeah,
the cursed child.
No, that's wrong. Incorrect.
It's American History Y.
But you've got War Dogs is coming out. Which we wanted to see. War Dogs. With Miles Teller and Jonah Hill, which looks funny.
It looks funny. The last trailer I saw, I'm like, this might actually look funny and not be funny.
Yes.
Like, it's possible it's not actually funny.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
But, you know, there's a lot of stuff coming out in the fall that's besides Doctor Strange. But
I'm still waiting for you to sell me on something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's a little movie called Jack Reacher. That's coming out. Yeah. Still when does John Wick come out?
Still waiting for you. What? That's
when does John Wick come
out? John Wick 2?
Is that next year?
Yeah, that's next year.
That's March?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, you know, maybe it got pushed up to December.
No, I don't think so. Maybe?
I doubt it.
But you can't rush perfection.
Chapter 2. John Wick Chapter 2. That's a good action movie. That's the way you do action these days right there.
There's a lot of movies coming out in the fall.
You keep saying that, but I'm
he's still waiting.
Not movies that you might not be interested in. I don't know. Ryan Gosling's movie, La La Land. I'm interested in seeing that. That's the guy that did Whiplash. That's his new movie. It's it is gonna be a musical, which is not my bag.
But it looks very
stylized, which looks interesting. But it's the guy who did Whiplash, so that's why I'm interested in it too. And it's Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling, and you know from Crazy Stupid Love that they have the two of them have fantastic chemistry.
But if it's a musical, I'm likely not gonna enjoy it.
It's like a, I think it's like a love letter to like old Hollywood, but which was kind of what. I like
having my surprises. I like not knowing what's coming out.
Lights Out 2 is probably gonna be out by October.
Easily, I think they push it to November.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. I see. Well, you want to let it percolate a little bit.
Well, you know, the electric bill and everything.
Yeah. That's true.
The electric bill. The Harry Potter thing comes out.
Candle lights out.
The Strange Beasts.
Oh, you're fantastic.
Fantastic Beasts, where to find them.
That's in November, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Little movie called Rogue One comes out in December.
Well, I was talking about that between now and then,
yeah.
I'll find something to watch. Maybe Stranger Things for the 8th time.
It could be. Try Bloodline.
Oh, yeah. I still haven't watched that.
You need to watch.
You need to watch.
You'll enjoy Bloodline because
they'll tell me what to do.
The characters were it.
Oh, okay.
You need to watch the comedy on HBO, man. You need to watch like Silicon Valley and shit like that.
Oh, you don't watch Silicon Valley?
No.
Yeah, you'd like Silicon Valley.
Silicon Valley's so funny.
Yeah, I do want to watch Bloodline.
Middle Out.
I started watching Silicon Valley about a year or two ago.
Oh, just didn't.
It wasn't bad.
Oh, just didn't.
I just never got back into it.
Yeah. That's my biggest gripe about Netflix, and it's my cross to bear, like it's my issue, but it's out of mind.
Right.
I could start watching a show on Netflix, and because it's not in front of me every week,
right,
it could be good, and I still there's a possibility I forget about it and forget to go back.
Or something else comes up, because that's what happened to me with Bloodline. Yeah. Like I got to episode 6, but then House of Cards season 4 came out, and I was like, well, I got to watch this now.
It's just
really
weird, you know. I was talking about these little shows in Netflix.
Yeah.
Like there was a show called The Fall.
Yeah.
With Gillian Anderson.
Yeah, I've heard that's good.
Yeah. It was good. I watched season 1 and I liked it. And then season two came out, and I just totally forgot about it. And then I forgot even what happened in season one. I'm like, yeah. Well, fuck, and I knew it was good, but yeah.
There's another one on the Peaky Blinders. I've heard that's really
good. I've heard
too,
that's good. With Killian Murphy. Happy Valley is really good. It's a British show, but it's really good.
Oh, there's another one. It's a good song. Well, you said Peaky Blinders. It reminded me of it. The one with Ava Green. Ava.
Oh, that's Penny Dreadful. Penny that's Dreadful. That's on Showtime, isn't it?
That's a Showtime.
That's Showtime. Yeah,
no, but they just put it on Netflix.
Oh, did they?
Oh, you're right. They did.
I didn't like it that much.
They did. Sound they good?
I didn't think it was very good.
It's done. It's done now. I think they did what, two seasons, and like the second season was the last one.
Yeah, like Showtime canceled it.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
I mean, maybe, I don't think they canceled it. I think they ended it. Like they ended the story basically. Like they.
Well, they ended it maybe because.
I don't know.
It ended prematurely. They may have written it out.
Right.
But it wasn't planned to end in two seasons, I guarantee.
I don't know.
You.
I thought they said it was.
But
I wanted to at least try that.
That seemed like it was right up my alley, and it didn't work for me.
When I saw the trailer, I thought it was just League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, basically.
It could be just me, but it didn't work very well for me.
Oh, that's a movie I'm looking forward to. Not League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, but...
Miss Peregrine's... Yeah. That looks, you mean X-Men.
that looks fun.
1920s X-Men.
Yeah, that looks like it could be.
No, it does look good. I can't tell...
I'll be interested to see which way they go with it. I can't tell how young adult cute versus sci-fi horror
will be more Harry Potter, or will it be more
I can't wait to figure out what line they're going to walk with that one.
Because Sam Jackson, his
character. Because it was a book too, right? It was a young adult book.
And this is, or was so. It? For, I think so.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember. But this is
Tim Burton,
yeah.
Yeah.
Who's been, I don't know, for me, hit and miss.
Yeah, he's been hit or miss lately. Big Eyes was good.
Big Eyes was really good.
But even Big Eyes was kind of a departure for Tim Burton.
Yeah, but it was good.
But
it was really good.
It showed that he
anytime,
can direct.
Anytime anybody's like, Tim Burton has had a good movie in forever, I'm like, Big Eyes.
Yeah,
Big Eyes was really good.
It may not be your
typical Tim Burton movie,
but it's still a good movie.
But at the same time, that movie was perfect for him. Even though it wasn't a typical
story,
movie.
It lent itself to him.
Speaking of Tim Burton.
But you're right. He is very hit or miss lately.
Oh, The Founder's coming out with Michael Keaton.
Oh, yeah. The Founder. I want to see that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of Michael Keaton, he is also... Yes, sorry, right. Folks. He has kind of dashed your hopes for a
Beetlejuice.
Quote, unquote,
that ship may have sailed.
Yeah, he may have dashed your hopes for a Beetlejuice, too. Yeah.
It's gone the way of Superman Lives, it looks like.
Well, at least they made a Superman movie after that.
Well, no. Now this opens the door for Nick Cage to... play
Beetlejuice. Oh, yes. Nick Cage is Beetlejuice.
Showtime!
The bees!
Which, you know, good for them for at least admitting maybe there's not a story to be had.
Yeah, maybe.
You know,
I don't know.
Keaton basically said, you know, we've all looked at it and, you know, the first one was so much improvisation and what happened.
It was lightning in a bottle.
We're just not sure we could do that again, and we don't want to do it again. And he certainly doesn't need it. Like he's back. Michael Keaton's back, and Tim Burton's never gone anywhere. So they don't.
And now Winona Ryder's back.
Yeah,
with
so they
the
don't
Stranger
need
Things.
To look for a project,
right?
So you know, if it's not going to work, it's not going to work. It's not like anyone was clamoring for another Beetlejuice, but it would have been fun to see.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I wouldn't say I feel this way about Beetlejuice, but it reminds me a little bit of like. How I cringe anytime I hear anybody say, oh, maybe they'll do a sequel to Ferris Bueller's Day Off. It's like, God, please no. Let that man rest in peace. God damn. Don't trample on John Hughes' grave.
He's too busy moving too fast.
Right. So we kind of got off on a tangent there, but that'll do it for this episode of the podcast. And we'll see you guys next time. Thanks for listening.